Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Sammer Abu Salbi. Sammer, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing well, but I'm going to ask you, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great because it's my birthday. Literally the day this episode releases, it is my birthday.
I know. And not only that, it's our 100th episode. We just did our 99th episode. So I love the timing that we cross 100. It's your birthday, which I think you're also just about 100. So this all just works out really well.
It does work out perfectly. My age aligns perfectly to our episode count. So I'm a sprite 100 years old today. Very excited. And so I took that 100 theme, though, and that's what I built my birthday mix around, because I looked at the Billboard 100 for the week of my birthday every year since the year I was born. And I picked 12 songs from 12 different years. I kept myself to the top 20. So all of these songs had to be in the top 20 of the Billboard Top 100. Because I didn't want to be like, because then you're really just digging for songs that you like. And I mean, I like all these songs, right? But it's like, if I'm like, yeah, this one hit 87th, you know, back in 1984, I'm really just digging around for the song that I want to put, you know, instead of sort of forcing the issue.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, this was a really eclectic mix. I liked it a lot. It's kind of fun to do. I think we should do more challenge mixes like this, because it does bring together a lot of different things, but all together it worked really well.
It was a really fun, it's a fun kind of rabbit hole to go down if you just kind of search around, and it's really cool because not that Billboard's a sponsor yet, but maybe at some point. And so, but I will say their website's really neat because they do have all sorts of historical charts on there, and going back, as far as, you know, 100 years ago to look at, you know, the big songs when I was born, yeah, I mean, it was really kind of interesting to see year by year what, you know, the movement on the charts and who was big and who wasn't, all of that. So, yeah, I encourage anyone, just jump in there and try it sometime. It's really fun.
Yeah, I definitely will be. It does seem like a lot of fun. All right, well, with that, let's get rolling with your birthday mix. So I'm going to be introducing all of the songs. And so track one is Don't Leave Me This Way by Thelma Houston.
Yeah, this was number three the week I was actually born in 1977. Okay, so I'm not actually 100 years old. And that's technically the disco era, so I felt like I had to get like one disco song on here. Now, the original of this song was done by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, which was led by the incomparable Teddy Pendergrass. And that version is awesome, but unfortunately it came out in 1975 and I wasn't on the planet yet. So we went with the Thelma Houston cover here, which hit near the top of the charts the year I was born. Both versions are really good and just different enough because you've got like a male voice and a female voice that they're both worth checking out. But yeah, just a really, you know, fun song. Obviously the message, you know, is a little bit of desperation, kind of love songy. Sort of, but still the disco beat will just kind of keep you upbeat in spite of the lyrics. So, get started with a little Thelma Houston here.
Yeah, I really like this. I wasn't familiar with the song, at first, and you know, it starts a little bit slow and then like that disco beat kicks in like 15 or 20 seconds. And then you just want to move and groove. Like I know disco got a lot of hate, but it's fun, man. Like it's, I don't know how else to say it.
No, I just love that. You just couldn't come up with a better word than, man, it's fun. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah,
it's true, it's, though. It's really, I mean, that's good. Why I mean, we're going to do a disco mix, I think, sometime this year, just because we've had a couple disco songs come up, and it's, I feel the same way. It's like that stuff comes on, and I don't know how you're not in a great mood. And I'm not even doing cocaine the way they probably were back then, right? I mean,
right. I mean, I can't even imagine. This is not an endorsement.
Right. For I mean, any listeners out there who were like, you know, more adults, or at least teenagers in the 1970s, I mean, go ahead and send us a note. I mean, there's probably a lot of cocaine involved, okay? That's not the case when I'm listening to disco, but I'm still in a good mood, okay?
Yeah, still in a great mood. But yeah, great opening track from the 70s. And I just also really like her Motown voice on top of like a disco track. Like that also works really well. It's really beautiful. I think she has a great cover of this song. All right, speaking of people with just an amazing voice and one monster of a career ahead of her, this is 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Yeah, in April 1981, this was number 16 on the charts at that point in time. So first off, shout out to Gina Grad, who was on the show earlier this year. She's a huge Dolly Parton fan, so I know she'll like this pick. This was the theme song to the movie 9 to 5. So I will start off. Samer, have you seen the movie 9 to 5?
I have not. Okay. But I've watched Grace and Frankie, which is like a reunion of this, right? Like,
yeah,
I
so,
had no idea.
No, that's a great call out. Okay, Grace and Frankie starring Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, who along with Dolly Parton were the three women leads in the movie 9 to 5. So 9 to 5, I didn't see it in the theater, but it was on HBO in HBO's early years. It was like on heavy rotation. And I went back and I like, it's rated PG, but there was no PG-13 at that point in time. So I'm pretty sure this definitely would have been like a PG-13, but I was probably like 7 or 8 when I saw this movie. And going back and revisiting this one, I mean, there's a lot of pot smoking. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There is pot smoking. There's a lot of sexual jokes and sexual innuendo. And yeah, I remember seeing this movie multiple times. And now I'm like, would I let my 7-year-old watch 9 to 5? And it's like, probably not. I probably only got like 30% of it at the time.
I'm
like,
sure.
From a joke standpoint, right? But anyway. I do love this song, though, even when it comes on now. The songwriting is just incredible. Of course, Dolly wrote this one as well as sang it. But the lyrics I'll call out here is, they let you dream just to watch them shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you've got dreams he'll never take away. And I just love that. I mean, just the rhyming scheme in this one, everything about it. It's just a great song.
Yeah, the lyrics are great. I was going to call out the line, it's a rich man's game no matter what they call it, and you spend your life putting money in his wallet. And I'm like, you know, this is 1980. This is like this could be like an argument against capitalism that you hear today, right? Like this is, it's very much ahead of its time of like, no matter what you're doing, you're just putting money in like some, you know, person's wallet, basically, some dude's wallet. So I thought that was really great.
Yeah, why didn't the Occupy Wall Street movement adopt the song 9 to 5, right?
Right, yeah, it could have been more successful. I forgot about Occupy. Huh. such great memories.
I don't know why that just popped into my head, but I was like,
yeah,
maybe those guys should have, you know, maybe people would have been more into it. Maybe it would have lasted longer, you know?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, throw some Dolly on just about anything and people are gonna get into it. They won't even know why they're into it, but they're like, I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah, I'll hang out at this rally a little while longer, at least for the next 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
All right. Well, until that happens, let's move on to track 3, which is a great song. This was like a callback for me because I think my parents used to listen to this one and actually the next one too. So really fun little flashbacks for me. But this is Against All Odds, parentheses, Take a Look at Me Now by Phil Collins.
Okay, this one hit number 3 in 1984, April of 1984. Also from a movie. This one, the movie is called Against All Odds. I never saw this movie, I realized. And it's like not streaming anywhere. So I don't know if that's an indictment on how good a movie it might be. But I also don't know anybody who's seen the movie, which is also weird. That it's like, right. There's not one person who can kind of be like, no, check it out. So I'm definitely going to watch it at some point. But yeah, if you don't want to sing along to this one, go ahead and check your pulse. I mean, just... You may not be among the living if you're listening to this one and don't want to sing along. Just an amazing power ballad by Phil Collins, and it's pretty straightforward. I mean, this guy's got one last chance to get his love back, and you know, the chances are against all odds, but that's a chance he's got to take.
Yeah, what you said is spot on about wanting to sing along to this one. Great, great karaoke pick. Yeah, like this one will get the crowd going with you. Like everyone's going to want to sing, especially when those like drums come in around verse three. I love a good set of like 80s synth drums, basically, you know, just
well,
come
and
in.
Phil Collins, he's already got In the Air Tonight, where he's got the drums kicking in. And then, I mean, that one's right. been shown so prominently. But then like revisiting this song, I was like, oh, again, the drums kick in and you just come, everybody comes alive.
Yeah, right. You just feel it. I love it. Someone in doing my research, I loved this comment that, you know, the song is against all odds, right? But then someone was like, research has shown that 50% of young adults and teens break up and then get back together. Collins was in his early 30s at the time of writing, so perhaps it wasn't against the odds.
Listen, I don't want to hear any data, okay? This is just about emotion.
It's stuff like this that makes me love the internet. I just love that someone put the thought to like find the research, do the math real quick about how old he was, and decide that it was not against the odds. It was a good old coin flip. Some words of encouragement for you, Phil Collins. Words,
yeah, maybe it's not so bad. Come on, Phil. All right.
Yeah, if I met him, I'd tell him, "You got it," which is song of which is track number four here, your fourth song. But right, it's "You Got It" by Roy Orbison.
All right, this one in April of 1989 was number 12. Roy Orbison actually died 6 months before this song was released. And it ended up being his first top 20 song in over 25 years. So wow. He had this huge career back in the 1960s. Then his career kind of goes into this lull. And then in the 1980s, he's got a little bit of a revival. And it kind of crests with this song that, you know, obviously came out after he passes away. Along with a lot of work he did with the Traveling Wilburys, which, if you're not familiar with them, is a super group consisting of George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, Jeff Beck. It's amazing. And so they do some great work. And then he's got this, and all this comes along right around the time of his passing. So he's got an amazing catalog. So if you're not familiar with Roy Orbison, definitely go back and listen to his stuff. But I've always loved this song. That, you know, it's a pretty straightforward love song. You know, I just love that there's a line early on, "One look from you, I drift away." And, just mm-hmm. that sentiment right there. We should all be so lucky as to experience that at some point in our lives where you can just look at someone and kind of just lose yourself.
I love that. Yeah. It is very sweet. So if you've been a longtime listener of the show, or, you know, you've gone through a whole catalog, you'll know that I keep talking about this mixtape in my parents' car. And so you found another one.
Really? I did. Yeah. Yes.
You found another one. So you can add it onto your yes. list at home. "You Got It" by Roy Orbison. Yeah. I heard this. I was like, wait a minute. I know this song. And it was another one of those moments of just being taken back to sitting in the backseat of the car with my parents listening to music. And this was definitely on there. So it was really, really nice. So I have a lot of fond memories from that point of view. But also, like you said, the song is just beautiful. I find it also hard not to want to sing along to the chorus, you know, where he's singing, "Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it." It's a very happy song. This is definitely like a joyful song. It's hard to take it any other way.
And you get the rare usage of kettle drums in a pop song, right? Which is not, you don't see that too often.
No, we should do a mix of unusual instruments making their way into mainstream songs, because I love that.
That would be a really interesting mix, because there's actually a ton of pop songs. Just you saying that, I've got a bunch that came to mind that use some pretty obscure instruments. So yeah, I like that. Put that on the list. There we go.
All right. It's going on the list. But until then, let's go to track 5. And this is Strong Enough by Sheryl Crow.
All right. April 1995, about a month before I'm about to graduate from high school. This is number 5 on the Billboard 100. This is off her debut album, Tuesday Night Music Club. And all the love on that album goes to All I Want to Do, which I just can't stand listening to anymore. Because it was on the radio so much at that point. And I thought it was okay, but I thought this song was so much better. And this one you can listen to now, and I think it still holds up. Sheryl Crow, amazingly enough, is she's already 61, which kind of blew me away seeing that. But also, interestingly enough, never been married. So maybe no one was strong enough to be her man.
Wow. There was a country singer that wrote a song like "I Am Strong Enough for You" or something like that, that was in response to this. So I don't know, Sheryl, maybe check him out. You know, he's
probably not a good sign that we don't know that person's name.
I do not remember the name. No, I just saw it.
Yeah. The response song only works when it's like you're kind of at the person's level. Right?
Sure.
Like if I write a response song to like Taylor Swift, one of her breakup songs, it's probably not going to hit the way I think it will, you know?
No, probably not. Probably not. You know, we've got a decent reach here at Super Awesome Mix, but I'm not sure we are. I'm not sure we're at Taylor level yet. It's a pinnacle for sure. There's not a lot of spots up there. But you're right. Like this is a very different song to All I Want to Do. But it is a much stronger song. I really like it. And it's cool because it's like a folksy pop song. So I really like that vibe to it, but I think she's just a beautiful singer, and it is a very nice, it's a beautiful song. So I enjoy listening to this a lot. Nice one. All right. Track number 6. It is Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey, who's been making a number of appearances lately. I like it.
She has been. I go back through her catalog and I'm like, she's got so many great songs and like she's nuts, but doesn't mean she can't sing, right? I don't think she's pulled off any like actual crimes against humanity. Like she's never been like banned from Twitter or anything. Apparently she's just super difficult as a human being.
I mean, she's the queen of Christmas, man. Like, come on.
She's the queen of Christmas. And like, you go back to her catalog and it's like, yeah, right. That's a monster responsibility right there. Right.
Yeah.
And then you've got this. Anyway, Always Be My Baby. This was number 2 in April of 1996. A month later, it would hit the top of the chart and stay there for a while. It kind of, was number 1 or number 2 for quite a long time. But yeah, the couple here in this song, they're not together, but there's still some feelings there between them. Obviously, Mariah thinks, her partner will always be her baby. But yeah, for me, it's less about the lyrics here. It's more about this came about at a time like in college where, you're pretty young and everything's a good time. And this song was playing all the time and you hear it now and it's still a pretty listenable song. It's just a really great pop song. So, yeah, had to include it. I don't know if people – I kind of listened to this and I was like, well, everybody loves this song, right? But then I was like, yeah, maybe that's just me. I don't know. So, Samra, does everyone love this song?
I think everyone loves this song. I think – yeah. Yeah, my research assistant just handed me a sheet of paper that confirms that. So, I'm getting word that that is accurate. Everyone loves this song. But yes, this is a great pop song, I think, that is still very playable, has stood the test of time for sure. And I think, it's like it comes back to sometimes a lot of, pop songs that do last a long time just have relatable lyrics. And I think these are very relatable lyrics, right? Like, and I think also, she worked with Jermaine Dupri on this song. She wanted to have more of a hip hop vibe to it. So I think maybe that also gave it a little bit more like longevity. Because it wasn't just like your typical kind of pop sounding song. It has like some complexity to it and you know, working with a very talented individual there. So I think it's really good. I enjoyed this a lot. And I again want to shout out, I always love when people write out all the lyrics, like literally all the lyrics to a song. So if you go and you look at the lyrics of it, someone has typed in all of the do-do-do-dum, you know, do-do-do-da-dum-da-dum, like very, very accurately. So it's great.
I do appreciate that. Yeah. And now it's all artificial intelligence doing that, but still.
Right.
That's still, it's yeah. still, it's still worthwhile.
It is. It is. I enjoy it. All right. Track number 7 is a song I will not be listening to again, but
wow.
It is Picture featuring Sheryl Crow and Kid Rock.
Okay, so this one got to number 4 in April of 2003. This was actually featured on a Kid Rock album. Interestingly enough, one, I think it's very different for Kid Rock. So I really appreciated the song when it came out because, you know, I think musically he's probably more talented than a lot of his songs convey. But Sheryl Crow, like I talked about earlier, I mean, she's amazing. What's interesting about this song is I think since they like recorded this, they've probably performed it more with other people than with each other.
That's awesome.
So in fact, at the time, like Sheryl Crow's management, like for whatever reason, wouldn't let Kid Rock release it as a single. So he recorded a different version with another singer named Allison Maurer, and they released that as a single. But then radios just started playing the version off the album that included Sheryl Crow because it was like, who is this other person? Like, we're just going to play this Sheryl Crow song. And so there was this whole thing about like, you know, song rights and everything. And then since then, it's like when Kid Rock performs it, he's always with somebody else. Now, those two people, I can't imagine they have a lot in common.
Right.
And so I imagine there's not a lot of get togethers with Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. But I think they came together and made a pretty good pop song here. Obviously, you disagree. But, you know, yeah, good one.
It was a little too country for me, you know, like it's, I think it's just, it was the country sound that I'm not a huge fan of. But it's funny, you know, you mentioned that there's probably not a lot of crossover between them. I think then, you know, maybe like that adds an interesting element to the song because they're kind of singing about two people that are very different that seem to find each other anyway, right? Or seem to want each other. Mm-hmm. You know, the line of like one person is off to church, the other person's not off drinking them away. So maybe it was really appropriate that Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow come together for a song. It's like it works. It kind of adds an element to it.
I agree. That is fitting for these two. But yeah, just kind of fascinating that I don't know if they'll ever actually come together and perform the song together again.
Right. Yeah. Who knows? All right. Let's move on to track 8, featuring a very much canceled artist, but you know, this is a look back in time. So this is not an endorsement of his activities whatsoever, but this is Slow Jams, on the Kanye West album. And it features Twista and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. This one hit number 16 in 2004. I think this just features the best of each of these three artists. Kanye's raps are really good in this one. I think he produced the song too. Jamie Foxx's voice is incredible. And then Twista with the rap at the end, it's just unreal. I just think this is a great song. It's a great like shout out to like old R&B and hip hop artists. So I think that part's really cool. And just a really listenable song just over and over. And you know, say what you want. Kanye West, we're not endorsing him like Sammer said, but at the same time, this is a fantastic song.
No, it is. I mean, his early works really were like they were game changing. I mean, he really did like come in and change a lot of the rap industry with his stuff. So it was great. And I'm here anytime Twista wants to make an appearance on a track. I absolutely love it. He is so talented with the way that he can just like spit rhymes out. Like it's crazy. It really blows my mind how fast he can talk.
Yeah. not one for karaoke, right? Like don't no. go, yeah, I'm gonna do this Twista song and try to really keep up.
No. Yeah. Oh my goodness. If you can do that, then you need to be contacted by right, someone, right. like by a label. But yeah, this is a great song. You're right. I think it's all of them at the top of their game. And, you know, I love a song that has a mixtape built in, right? Like, it's a really good mixtape that they're putting together.
That's
with
true.
Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, you know, Anita, Smokey Robinson, Freddie Jackson. I mean, some amazing big time names on here. So I really enjoy
that's
that.
That's true. This would
well.
Be a great slow. In fact, that's another idea. Slow Jams mixtape. Okay. That'll come at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Putting together some great ideas on your birthday mix. All right. Well, track number 9 is a great one here. I love the title. It makes me laugh because it's very straightforward. And it is My Life Would Suck Without You by Kelly Clarkson.
In 2009, this was number 7 in April of that year. I just have always loved this song just as a pop song and kind of a love song, whether it's to, you know, a friend or a partner or whatever. Like, I just, again, it's just kind of that offbeat message of, you know, how should I put this? I mean, my life would suck without you. And
right.
She's got such a great voice, and it's sort of these power pop ballads. She does a really good job showing that off. And this was kind of early Kelly Clarkson, I feel like, you know, before. Now she kind of does everything. She's got a talk show and whatever else. But yeah, at that point, I want to say this was on one, maybe her second album or something like that.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions. And we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, it's like a song that just bops, really. Like, that's what I wrote here. Like, it really gets you, like, the energy's good. I love, you know, again, the title really makes me laugh because there are oftentimes, you know, songs that have these really kind of outlandish titles, you know, or they just were like a quirk of someone said something in the studio and they decided, let's name it that, you know, that's why it's called that. Whereas this is a very straightforward, like, there's really no other way to interpret this that my life would just be worse without you. So I really like that.
Well, like PM Dawn wrote, I'd die without you, right? But it's like,
right.
Brian didn't actually die without that person, right?
Right.
Just missed him a lot. Okay. So I appreciate Kelly being like, okay, I'm not going to die, but my life would kind of suck without you.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
Exactly. No, great song. Great pop song. All right. Another realistic title, I think, you know, one that we can all get behind. And it is We Found Love by Rihanna featuring Calvin Harris.
Number 14 in April of 2012. And that was just a month before I got married. So I had to appropriately pick this one, right?
Nice.
Although I will say, I want to clarify, my wife and I were not in a hopeless place when we found each other.
Excellent.
I mean, maybe me, I don't know, but probably not her. But yeah, so just a little clarification there. Anyway, just a great song. I mean, this one, speaking of weddings, I mean, if you want to play this one at the reception, everybody's going to get out on the dance floor. I mean, it's got that great buildup and then the beat drops and I mean, everybody's dancing to this one. So love this one as just a great song to play at a party, but also where it fell on, you know, my birthday and the year and all that was also just perfect.
Yeah, such a good song. I mentioned recently I was rewatching the hip hop Super Bowl halftime show. I rewatched the Rihanna one again, actually a couple of times. And I was like, that was such a good show too, because you just remember like how many hits Rihanna has had in her career. And that wasn't even like most of them, right? Like she still could have played for another like 4 hours and would have been like, wow, I know all of these Rihanna songs and they are all really, really good. So what an incredible artist she is, like amazing. And I was reading all about how excited like Calvin Harris was to work with her and how this track really like exceeded all his expectations and it really blew up. I was also reading that like some of the producers on the track, they were like, we don't really ever prognosticate that, like, you know, we're making a hit. They never want to like jinx it. But he was like, we knew we were making a hit when when they were working on this song.
Yeah.
And it's so clear. It's, as you said, like, it just gets people moving. It's got a great message. Like, it fires on all cylinders. Like, she brings it, he brings it. It's awesome. So this is definitely like a crowd pleasing favorite. All right. Another really fun song that has like an infectious energy, and that is Cake by the Ocean by Dance, D-A-N-C-E.
Yeah, this was number 9 in 2016, April of 2016. This was their debut single, okay? Dance is led by Joe Jonas, and it features Jack Lawless and Jinju Lee, which are two artists who are like in the Jonas Brothers normal band. And so I just thought it was funny that Joe Jonas just like grabbed a couple of musicians and were like, hey, guys, let's come over here and do this other thing. And they put out a hit record. So this was their debut single. I think they broke up for a little bit and then came back together last year and started making music again. So I'll have to seek out more of their stuff. But yeah, this is such a like fun and kind of ridiculous song. Like even in the video, they're literally eating cake by the ocean. But yeah, I don't know. This one just always gets me. It's just, you know, I think you called it infectious. I think that's the right term for this.
Yeah, it really is. It reminds me of AJR in a way. It's like, which would come, you know, a little bit later, but they also just have like really fun, addicting, silly lyrics and stuff. Of course, this, you know, the internet being the internet, everyone's decided that this is an innuendo. And Cake by the Ocean, I think, was inspired by Sex on the Beach, the drink. And so they're like making a joke here, saying that they're having cake by the ocean instead of sex on the beach. Which changes it a little bit when you go back and reread some of the lyrics, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we can also just believe,
now that I'm
like
thinking about it, I'm like, okay, that's a little different.
But you know what? It's the internet. Everything is about sex or drugs or both. So who knows? Who knows? but it is a masterful
pop
song, truly. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I was very excited when I saw this on your mix. So enjoy listening to it once again. And finally, track 12, another monster track that I absolutely love and was excited to listen to it one more time. And this is Sunflower by Post Malone and Swae Lee.
In 2019, April of 2019, this was the number 3 song on the Billboard Top 100. This was, and maybe still is, my son's favorite song because he loves the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie that it came from. And interestingly enough, this song was written for that movie, which is like, I don't think you could listen to this song and be thinking of Spider-Man, but then it just kind of works within the context of the movie. And Samer, do you want to guess how many times the video for this song has been viewed on YouTube?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm going to just throw out a number, like 100 million, 200 million.
Not even close, Samer. 2 billion times.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Yeah,
wow.
2 billion views on YouTube. Now, it's really cool because the video, they use scenes from the Spider-Verse movie. And the lyrics of the song are kind of like spliced in there, like within the, you know, the movie looks like a comic strip and it's really uniquely animated. And so they work the lyrics in there as, you know, Miles Morales is kind of running through New York City. But it's anyway, it's a really cool music video, but I was still shocked to learn that it's been viewed 2 billion times.
That is amazing. Yeah. But that movie was so good. Like, I actually want to watch that movie again after listening to this song. And that happens to me a lot with the soundtrack, because the soundtrack is excellent. A lot of really talented people came together to work on that one. So well done to Sony for such a great movie and great soundtrack, for sure. But
and a sequel.
This one also spent...
The sequel's coming out this summer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I did
so
not
we've
know
got,
that.
We've got plans. My son's super excited because the ad came on. I don't know. The trailer came on before some other movie we were seeing, and he just like lost his mind in the theater. So we're
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're going to see that one. I think it's sometime this summer, but I agree with you. I hope that they put as much into the soundtrack as they did for the original, because that soundtrack is so good.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Okay, another super awesome mix for your collection. This is our 100th mix, and it was my birthday mix, so I'm honored that this is how it all worked out. Not that I intentionally did it this way, but, you know, maybe I did. Who knows? anyway, we're not going to stop at 100. We've got plenty of mixes ahead of us, so you could follow us along at Super Awesome Mix. And if you remember, let's get a, hey, how about for my birthday, give us a 5-star review on the podcast, help other people find it. But we will keep working on our next mixes. So for Samrin, this is Matt, and we'll see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.